Now, not only is this our last Sunday service, but it's also the last Sunday in the season of Easter. And it's the time we remember Jesus getting ready to return to heaven. And at our morning communion services next Sunday, we'll be thinking about that. We'll be thinking about Jesus returning to heaven and how the disciples must have felt at his departure. But today, to get us started, I want to read just two verses from the Gospel according to John, and they're taken from the New Living Translation rather than the Bible we normally read in church. This is what Jesus said. "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again." When Jesus told his disciples he was returning to God, returning to his heavenly Father, they were afraid. What would happen to them? Would their enemies recognize them as Jesus' followers? And would they try to harm them? And Jesus knew his disciples were afraid, and he offered these words to comfort them. "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind, peace of heart. Don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I've told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. I will come and get you so you will always be with me." And these words were a great comfort to the disciples, and they're a great comfort and encouragement to us today when we go through tough times particularly. And when Jesus returned to his heavenly Father, he asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be that comforter, to comfort the disciples until the day he returned. And that Spirit comes to you and me today to give us peace of mind and peace of heart. And we no longer have to fear anything, whatever and wherever we find ourselves in the dark and the storms of life, Jesus is there with us. And so we gather to give thanks and to worship. I'm going to hand over to the band now, and they're going to lead us in our praise. Well, indeed, as Graham said, we have guests with us this morning, and if you're a visitor also this morning, we hope you're feeling very much part of our service. But we welcome Lorraine Rose, who comes from Compassion UK, and Lorraine's going to share with us now something about the Ministry of Compassion and perhaps how we also could help with that and be involved in that.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right? As Andrew said, my name is Lorraine Rose, and I'm a volunteer and an advocate for Compassion UK. I go to Uphill Parish Church, which is in West Lothian, and I share with my congregation on numerous occasions the stories of compassion and some of the things that I myself have experienced with some of the children. Before we go into all that, I'm invited to take a couple of minutes to watch a short video about one of the young people who were sponsored to Compassion, and this is his story.
Thank you. We teach our children to be responsible, to know Jesus, and to serve their community. Sponsorship brings joy, confidence, and self-esteem to the children. It helps their child to feel loved.
Before, you were struggling and worried. How could Father pay our school fees? How could I get an education? What was my future?
Today, my baby is healthy and enjoying friendships and extending their love.
Compassion has supported our family to generate an income, showing us how to leave bags and shoes. This helps meet our financial needs.
Words can describe my joy when I think the girls were enrolled as the program. Sponsorship has enabled this family from all of them. These sponsors are the people sent by God.
I pray for my sponsors. They write to me as if I'm a member of their family, and they show me that I'm important to them.
Sponsorship develops children, giving them hope and a future. Sponsorship benefits the whole family and it changes the local community. Sponsorship changes lives.
Apologies, Gary, because I said his story for all the reasons that I had on for his all to listen to. So, who had compassion? Compassion worked with local churches in 25 different countries to help children escape from the extreme poverty that they're living in. It gives them hope for a future. So why do we focus on children? Because children are our future and most vulnerable to suffer the effects of poverty. Poverty is a thief. It robs the children of hope. It tells them you are worthless, telling them there is no way out. In a world where 48% of the world's wealth is owned by 1% of the population, 400 million children at this moment are living in extreme poverty. 150 million children are currently suffering from malnutrition, which can lead to stunted growth and even death. Children growing up in developing countries grow up as dangerous, like child trafficking. They're expected to work from a young age. They're more likely to die from easily preventable diseases such as malaria or even diarrhea, and less likely to have a chance to go to school just like them. But there is hope, because compassion is connecting one child in poverty with one sponsor to help break the chains. And when that sponsorship is given to that child, the whole family benefit, not just the child. So if the family needs guidance on how to start making a living for themselves, compassion will help them and help provide that means for them. The sponsorship gives them a chance to go to school, to get proper nutrition that they need, and a safe place to play. But more than that, sponsorship gives hope. It gives the child the hope of a future free from poverty in all its forms. I could go on here and give you statistics after statistics. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my journey that I've had with compassion for years. And my journey started way back in 2006, and I have been very fortunate to be able to go and meet my sponsor children. In 2013, I joined a group of people who are all advocates for compassion and who try to claim in jail to help put 6 students through university. On that journey, I met a lady called Steph Warren, and she became my buddy. We've become very good friends, and last year I was invited by her church, which is Letchworth Garden City Church, down in London, to join them on a trip to Uganda. And what has happened there has been a God moment for me, more than one. And I'm sure each and every one of us can explain what that God feeling has been like for us. The day we arrived, this little 5-year-old girl came running up to me, and she sat on my knee in the church. Every corner I turned, this child was there. The next day, when that project, this little girl saw me coming off the bus, and she came running to me. And this went on for a few days. One day in the church, some of the churchgoers and members came up to give their testimony. And this lady stood up in church and said she was a grandmother, four children, she was raising herself. And she was out walking past the tip one day when she heard this dreadful noise. She went to investigate and she found a newborn baby still with the biblical cord attached, lying in the tip. She picked this child up. She had heard about compassion. She ran with this child to compassion, who then took that child to the hospital, and the child then came forward to the hospital. That lady was now bringing that child up as her own. The next day, I was very fortunate to be part of the group to go to this lady's house, to see how she lived, and to see how she was coping with four grandchildren and now a baby. I got off the bus, we turned the corner, we lived in a slum, and who was standing there? This little girl. And this little girl was one of this lady's grandchildren. God had spoken to me, he placed that woman and that child in my arms for a reason. Her name is Hope. Another God name. Because her grandmother and baby were part of the program, the mother and baby group, compassion do not like to have more than one child per family sponsored because they feel that takes away from another family. But because this baby is a baby development class, compassion were able to get Hope into the project and I have sponsored that child. That for me is a God moment. I was meant to go to Uganda. God placed me there and he placed this child in my arms. I have received the most beautiful letters from her and I pray that next year I'll be able to go back to Uganda and see this child. Now by me sponsoring Hope, she now goes to school. She has her meals every day. She gets medical treatment. She can see a dentist. And that's of no cost to them at all. But sadly, in these countries, in the third world countries, parents need to pay for their children's education. It's not like here, it's not free. They have to pay for it. So they have no money to send the children to school. The children have no education at all. So I'm looking forward to seeing how her journey goes. I'm sure God has it written down for her. Her journey's already marked. And her latest letter is that she's doing very well at school. So this is what compassion do, but it's also what God does. God places these children in our hands and in our hearts. And that's what God is always asking us of. He says, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And that's in Matthew 18, verse 5. Another God moment was today, when my colleague Janice came to meet me at my house so we could travel together. And Janice had put her radio on. I forget what the channel was now, but it was speaking to Janice. And I would like to share with you a poem by Edward Guest. I don't know if any of you have heard of Edward Guest, but I think this actually says quite a lot. It is called, Have You Earned Your Tomorrow? Bit deep, but it goes like this. Is anybody happier because you passed his way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to him today? This day is almost over, and its toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter now a kindly word of you? Did you give a cheerful greeting to the friends you've been alone? Or a churlish sort of hiding and then vanish in the throng? Were you selfish, pure and simple, as you rushed along the way, or as someone might be grateful for a deed that you did today. Can you say tonight, and parting with the day that's slipping fast, that you helped a single brother of the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Does a man whose hopes were fading now with courage look ahead? Did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or sorely spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent? As you close your eyes in slumber, do you think that God would say, you have earned one more tomorrow by the work you did today? I think we can all take something from that at some point. I have another story that I'd like to share with you, and it's about my sponsored girl who lives in Kenya. She was 4 years old and I cherished this place in my heart and in my hands. I had gone to Kenya with compassion, and the day we were leaving, there was a new project at home, and we were all asked if we would take fee profiles to see people's fine sponsors to these children. I unfortunately was unwell, and I just said, just place first fee that comes to your hand, then my hand. And this child's profile was put in my hand. She was born on my birthday. Another daughter in me, I had to have her. I was very blessed again. I was able to go meet. Her name was Gladys. I was able to meet Gladys and her family. And the day I met her, this little, sullen, unhappy little child was standing up against the wall. Her little brothers were running around, kicking the ball, having the time of their life, but not Gladys. I was sitting with her social worker, and I asked the social worker, there is something wrong here. What is the matter with Gladys? And her response was that Gladys has been abused by her stepfather. His village believed that by beating her, he was beating the spirit of her dead father out of her body. It taken compassion about a year to remove the child from the family, and she went to deal with her grandmother. That day on, Gladys blossomed. She grew and grew. But compassion didn't ignore the family. They went to work with the father and the whole family. And they re-educated her. And eventually, Gladys was able to go back home and live with her mom and her stepfather, with her half-brother and her stepfather. Her last letter that I received, which was on the table, please feel free to go and read her letter to all there as our hosts and another to Brother Harriet. Gladys is now 16 and her vision is to be a doctor. And I have no hesitation, no doubt at all, Gladys will reach that goal. Children, when they are given that education and they are lifted up to poverty, they always want to give that more than what they have given. And I have experienced it firsthand, time and time again. And I've never faced an amazing little child before who can just grow with that just through my £25 a month to save her heart. And as I said, the whole family that her brothers go to school because of that. £25 is a lot of money for some people, for one person. But even if you had a group that you were a member of, a prayer group, study group, whatever, you can do it as a group. It doesn't have to be individual. And trust me, the reward is immense. It will melt your heart. It just takes you there. So I would like to finish with a prayer, please, if I may. And it's just giving thanks to God for what we have, but also to help others. Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about your work through compassion at Trinity Parish Church. It mentions in Proverbs 31, verse 8, Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the right of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being able to help those less fortunate than ourselves. Thank you for all the children you've been able to sponsor through compassion, and for all the other initiatives to assist the poor and the needy. Lord, bless each and every one of them. We thank you for the privilege to sleep each night in a comfortable bed, to have clean water at the turn of the tide, to have three meals a day, a health service that looks after us when we're sick, and an education to teach. Lord, never let us be so comfortable that we assume everyone is as fortunate as we are. Expand our understanding of the needs in this world and our capacity to show compassion to the least, the lost, and the lonely. Show us where and how we can do more for you. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Amen. So myself and Janice will be back here. Please come and have a look at the letters from the children that I've received. And there's also some profiles. Anyone who can be able to, Janice and I will be happy to talk with you. And I'd just like to thank you all and thank you for allowing us to be able to speak very compassionately. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks to Janice for coming as well, and you've taken us on a wee journey this morning to Uganda and to Kenya, and you've introduced us to just two of the many children sponsored by Compassion 2 that you are involved with, Hope and what was the other one, Grace? Gladys, I knew it was a G, Gladys, so thank you for that. I was quite taken this week. You may have seen on the news there was a university graduation ceremony where one of the ordinary honorary graduates in his acceptance speech said, "I'm paying off the debt, the student debt of all my class," and that's incredible generosity. He could afford to do that. And then there was another story. I don't know if you saw the wee boy who was out underneath the street lamp doing his homework. And somebody saw that and have now, they've built his family a house and they're building a school. Incredible generosity. And it's when God works in our lives like that, just helping us do that little bit and making that little transformation that makes a difference in others' lives, that we see the Holy Spirit work. And it's to do with faith. And it's to do with having that extra ounce of compassion for others. So some of us will be able to be involved with compassion in one way or the other. Others, we can pray if we don't have that money to be able to do that.